Well, good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, the 9th of August, and with quite an interesting week that we've had, I wanted to share a Bible verse with you from this week, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this: "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That verse was something that I felt like I wanted to share this morning in light of such a challenging week with us going in here in metropolitan Melbourne into stage 4 restrictions. I know it's going to be a challenging time, and I thought thinking about the positives, you know, that which is noble, the truth, pure things, lovely things, things that are admirable. There are so many things out there that are positive, and we can really live out that verse and be a people that are known looking on the bright side and looking to things that are positive rather than things that are negative. So I wanted to start off with sharing that today. And I hope that's a helpful verse. Will you please join me in prayer as we commence the message this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for his death on the cross. Lord, we also thank you that you are with us as we explore your word. Lord, we pray that you would be with us and that you would illuminate it to us as we dive into what you might have to say today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Bible reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 20. Now, some of you would have received a sheet of paper. If you're on the email list, you should have received a sheet of paper with this reading, as well as a number of other verses I'll be using. That's not to replace the Bible, of course. If you do have a paper Bible or a Bible app or online that you're using, please feel free to look up the verse there as well. I just thought that would most of the verses I'm going to use are on that sheet for you today. And it's also got a table to fill in if you're so inclined on the back, as well as the for notes from the sermon. So either have that handy or your Bible, and we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 20. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through." Now, there's a few other verses in there. Today's sermon, I'm going to reference two people today as well. They're going to be using them as examples. I've got their photographs here. The first one, this is Malala Yousafzai, who I'll just refer to as Malala because I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her surname correctly. But Malala, when she was 15 years old in October of 2012, she was coming home from school on a bus. And the Taliban asked, "Which one of you is Malala?" And when she identified herself, she was shot in the head by those Taliban because she had been an active voice calling for girls' education and had wanted an education herself. And it's a cause about which she felt very, very strongly. And, of course, this was not liked in some circles. And so this is what happened. She was shot in an assassination attempt. She survived, thankfully, and went on to become the youngest ever person to win the Nobel Peace Prize, a record that she still holds today. Now, I will come back to her at one point in the sermon, and you'll see why. The other person, and you wouldn't know who these people are now because I posted them online on Facebook, is Penn Finette. Penn Finette is part of a prolific prestidigitation partnership known as Penn and Teller. And you can see their show on TV. I think it's called Fool Us. I think it's still on TV today, free to wear, I imagine. And also you can see a number of their magic shows online. They're very, very good. Sleight of hand, that partnership. I'm going to mention him a bit later in the sermon as well. The thing you probably need to know about him that's going to become important later is that he is, in fact, a staunch atheist. But I will come to him a little bit later on as well. Now, the reason I share those two pictures with you, the message today I have called Masquerade. and it comes with a couple of, well, it comes with a disclaimer. So I'm going to be using a metaphor, but it's going to have a different tone and a different meaning to the literal concrete concept that I've taken. So, as you know, at the moment here in Melbourne, and in fact all across Victoria, face coverings or face masks are mandatory whenever you leave the house. That is really important, and that's a really, really wonderful thing to see happen, because face masks prevent the spread of coronavirus. Now, I've taken that metaphor, and I'm using it a different way, because today I'm going to be talking about the face masks that we wear that prevent the spread of the gospel. Now, obviously, preventing the spread of coronavirus is very, very important, something we should all be on board and doing the right thing to achieve. However, stopping the spread of the gospel is not something we want to see. In fact, we want to see the gospel spread far and wide. We want to see it take over. We want to see revival. That's something that, and to all of us, that's part of the mission of we have at Brimbank Church of Christ, you know, to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Making Jesus known, spreading the gospel is a really important part of who we are and what we aim to do in our mission. So today I'm going to be talking about the masks we wear prevent the spread of the gospel, and we're going to jump right in with the very first face mask we wear, which is fear. We wear a face mask of fear to prevent the spread of the gospel. Usually this comes in the form of fear of rejection or fear of persecution. Now, I don't want to dismiss those fears, because being afraid is a legitimate thing, and fearing persecution and fearing rejection are legitimate things to fear. However, they are not fears that should stop us from spreading the gospel, and I'll explain in a little bit. First and foremost, we do know that being persecuted and being rejected is something that we should expect. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "If the world might hate you, but keep in mind that it hated me first." And he also says in John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, we need to understand that whilst fear is legitimate and we have things to fear, Jesus has promised trouble. In fact, being a Christian, there's a promise that being a Christian will come with persecution and rejection from time to time. Yet it's not something that we should be afraid of, because according to Psalm 118, the Lord is always with us. Well, the Lord is with us. What can mere mortals do to us? Because the Lord is with us, and we do not need to be afraid. In fact, the phrase "do not be afraid" appears 365 times in the Bible as a daily reminder that we do not need to be afraid. Now, it's all well and good to say "do not be afraid." However, it can be a little bit harder to do in practice, because fear can be debilitating, and it's a very real issue that many of us may face in our lives as God's children and as missionaries. So the best way to overcome fear is with love. 1 John chapter 4, 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Now, that might sound a little bit nebulous and a bit out there, and going, "Well, okay, so you just need to love and then you won't be afraid anymore." Essentially, yes, but what that looks like on the ground is the sense that we need to have the love of other people overriding any fear we might have of other people. In Corinthians, it tells us that Christ's love compels us. We don't live for ourselves anymore, and we certainly don't regard other people from a worldly point of view and the worldly things that they might be able to do to us. We regard them from heaven's point of view. We look at them as God's children, God's beloved children, whom he made, who he loves, and whom he desperately wants to come home and be part of his family again. When I was growing up, one of my favorite films when I was a child was The Princess Diaries, which was a movie with Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews. It's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, definitely recommend it. But it was based on a book that was written by Meg Cabot. And Meg Cabot, some of the wonderful quotes from her book actually made it into the movie. And one of my favorites was this one, which talks about courage as opposed to fear. And it said this. It says, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear." And in many ways, that's the mental and emotional process that we actually need to go to in order to be able to overcome our fear and stop fear from stopping us spreading the gospel. Malala, who I mentioned earlier, she had a lot of things to be afraid of. Rejection and persecution. In fact, persecution and violence were and are part of her story. Yet although she had those things to be afraid of, she found the courage to be able to keep calling for girls' education, because she knew that that was more important than her fear. Christians throughout the ages who were suffered social ostracization, violence, economic ruin, and even death for daring to utter the name of Jesus. They were compelled by Christ's love. They knew that his love and the importance of the gospel was more important than their own fear. So they did not let the fear of mere mortals stop them from doing what the kingdom of God wanted them to do. Now, the second mask we might put on to prevent the spread of the gospel is a lack of knowledge. This usually comes in the form of, I don't know the gospel well enough to be able to share it, or I don't know enough theology to answer people's questions. I'm not clever enough. I'm not qualified to share the gospel. Now, this is certainly not an uncommon concern about people when it comes to sharing the gospel. Moses himself had this concern. Jeremiah the prophet had this concern, and so did the disciples. In fact, in Exodus, after a long conversation with God at the burning bush, God eventually said to Moses, "Go, I will help you speak, and I will give you the words to say." He told the prophet Jeremiah that he would give him the words that he would needed to speak to the people of Israel, and he also promised the disciples in Luke chapter 12 that the Holy Spirit would teach them what they would need to say at the right time, at the time that they needed it most, when they were being persecuted or put on trial for their faith. We also find out in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if any of us lacks wisdom, that we should ask God, and he gives to us generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, that is not to say that if we lack the knowledge to be able to share the gospel well, or to be able to share the gospel effectively, that we should turn around and just go, okay, I'm going to ask God for it, and then sit around on my thumb, on my hands, and wait for God to give me this supernatural knowledge to be able to share the gospel. Asking God is just the start of the journey. The other thing we need to be doing is reading our Bible regularly, or reading other books about the gospel and theology regularly. If we lack knowledge of the gospel, the best way to get that knowledge is to read the gospel. So we should be reading the story of Jesus regularly, reading our Bible regularly, knowing what it says and understanding what it means. And there are countless books that have been written about the Bible and about theology that we can use to help us in this process. And there are also plenty of books that have been written specifically about how to share your faith with others. And that is something that we can actually do through practice. During the times when we do leave the house, which is not very often at the moment, granted. However, when we do leave the house, we'll often take with us our wallet, our keys, our phone, or our purse, our sunnies, our jacket. We have a mental list of things that we do that we put together in order to be able to go out and leave the house. When we leave the house, sorry, there may have been a little pause in there in the video. I just had an issue with my screen for a second there. Okay, so when we leave the house, we take those things with us. Another thing that we should take with us everywhere we go is what are two things that we could even put them in our wallet, keep them in our back pocket, and they are a 1 minute gospel and a 2 minute testimony. That's a 1 minute gospel and a 2 minute testimony. If you take away nothing else from this morning's sermon, I would the biggest thing that I would recommend you take away is that 1 minute gospel and that 2 minute testimony. But I'm not going to give you my 2 minute testimony today, but I am going to share with you my 1 minute gospel, because having a summary of your faith ready to go in your back pocket is effectively obeying the command that Jesus gives us, or that God gives us, through Peter's letter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where we are told that we should always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. If we are people that are characterized by the hope that we have, which we should be, particularly that verse I shared earlier about always being focused on whatever is pure and right and noble, to be thinking constantly about those things, people are going to notice that we have a hope in this life. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of glory. And because we have that hope, people are going to ask us questions about it, and we need to be prepared to give an answer. Having a 1 minute gospel in your back pocket, ready to go whenever that question comes up, really, really good way of being able to get the ball rolling on that and answer people's questions with gentleness and respect. So here's mine. And if you want to get out of stopwatch and time it, feel free. It goes for about a minute. It's the gospel. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for our sins. Now, sin is basically rebellion against God. It is the wrong things that we do, like lying, stealing, cheating, unkind words, that sort of thing. But it's also the right things that we don't do, like when we neglect people or we ignore injustice in the world. That's also part of rebelling against God. Now, the easiest way to think about sin is that it's like a debt. And you can't go to heaven to be with God until that debt is paid off, which is essentially what Jesus' death did. Jesus was the only one with money in the bank. He was the only one who could pay the price for our sins, and that's what he did by dying on the cross, and he paid the price once and for all. But after 3 days, he was raised to life again, which proved to everybody that he was indeed the Son of God, and that his free gift of dying for our sins was actually a legitimate gift. And all we have to do is accept that gift, turn away from our sins, and try to live as best as possible the example that Jesus has given us in the Bible. That's essentially the gospel in Luna. Quick summary of my faith that I could share with someone if they actually asked me. Now, you may be thinking, that, hang on a minute, well, after a minute, surely they're going to have more questions. And yes, they might, but that's actually a really, really good thing. You want people to have more questions. You want people to follow up with more information about your gospel, or your story. And one of the best answers that sometimes we can give as Christians is, I'm not sure, let me find out. Or, I don't know, can I get back to you? In fact, in many ways, that engenders more respect from people because they are looking to us as not these know-it-all Christians telling them how to live their lives, but rather they are seeing the way we live our lives and they know that we are walking the walk because we don't pretend to know everything. We are also on that journey as well. So, if you lack knowledge, get the knowledge by reading. And if you don't know how to have conversations about God, well, practice. And again, if you take nothing else away, have a 1 minute gospel and a 2 minute testimony in your back pocket, ready to go at all times. The next mask is apathy. Sometimes we just don't really care enough to share the gospel. We either think we're too busy or we're just comfortable in our own faith and happy where we're at spiritually. So, you know, we're saved, we're going to heaven, and that's enough for us. Rather than having a sense of urgency, rather than having that sense of being compelled by Christ's love, or rather than having a sense of no longer living for ourselves, but actually living for the one who died for us and actually taking that ministry of reconciliation seriously. Because as it says in the Bible reading today, God is making his appeal through us. He wants to work through us, and he wants us to be the ones who go out into the world and share his gospel with people. And he has some clear instructions and also some fairly a stark warning about what apathy does to us. He says that we should not be slothful in our zeal, but we should be fervent in spirit, in Romans. And Revelation, in the warning to the church at Laodicea, comes with a stark warning for us about being being apathetic, because it says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Excuse me. I don't want God to reject me one day because I was just a bit meh about the gospel. The gospel has urgency. The stakes are incredibly high. And the thing about apathy is that it's really difficult to overcome apathy. In fact, usually the way that we overcome apathy is through activity, or also we have to be shocked out of our. And the next thing I'm about to say is pretty shocking, because apathy is generally always connected to this next mask, which is a lack of compassion. A lack of compassion. Generally, a lack of compassion for other people who don't know the gospel yet usually manifests itself as apathy, or apathy always eventually leads to a lack of compassion. Those two go hand in hand. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, whoa, like, how dare you? Did you just say I lacked compassion, that I'm not a caring person, that I don't love others enough because I'm not doing enough to spread the gospel? Well, not exactly. What I'm saying is that when we know the gospel but choose not to share it, the reality is we are lacking in compassion. Compassion, Christ's love, that is what is meant to compel us to share the gospel with other people. Before the diving into the message and the word in detail, I showed you the photo of Penn Jeanette. who is a magician, sleight of hand magician. And he had, and as I mentioned as well, he is also a staunch atheist. And one day he was actually given a Bible by a fan. This fan gave him a Bible and gave him a little book about the gospel. And he told Penn that he, Mr. Finette, that he would be praying for him. Now, this came up in an interview with someone who knew that Penn Finette was, in fact, a staunch and outspoken atheist. And so the interviewer pressed him about this issue, clearly expecting that Penn would denounce this guy as being some brazen Bible basher wanting to brainwash him. However, Penn didn't do that. In fact, in response to what this man did to him, this is what Penn said. He said, "I don't respect people who don't evangelize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe there is a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think it's not really worth telling that because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody not to evangelize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that?" He used this example in the interview. He said, "If I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you, and you didn't believe it, and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point that I would tackle you, and this is more important than that." Pretty stark words. It can be quite challenging for us as followers of Christ when a staunch and outspoken atheist reminds us about some fundamental truths about our own faith, and that is, we know that there is eternal life with God, and there is eternal separation from God. And sometimes the only things, obviously, the only thing that can get you your eternal life with God is Jesus. However, sometimes the only thing standing in the way of you knowing that is a Christian who won't tell you, or, excuse me, not so much won't tell you, but a Christian who won't tell you, or hasn't gotten around to telling you yet, or for whatever other reason, is withholding that message. And the reality is, there's no other way of thinking about that but having a severe lack of compassion. And that is not what Jesus wants us to be. Now, I know that's pretty heavy, but I don't really want to end on that one. In fact, I want to end with one final one, which is both a mask, but it's also somewhat encouraging, because this is a mask that's actually really easy to overcome. This final face mask, which prevents the spread of the gospel, is a lack of opportunity. Now, I'm sure we've all used this mask before. Now, this mask isn't really a mask, it's more of an excuse. Because a lack of opportunity, there's no such thing as a lack of opportunity to share the gospel. In fact, the gospel can be shared anytime one person who knows the gospel interacts with one person who doesn't know the gospel. That is an opportunity. So there are opportunities everywhere. And Jesus himself promised in Luke chapter 10 that there would be opportunities. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. Now, usually when we claim that we have a lack of opportunity to share the gospel, it's usually, I don't know any non-Christian friends, I'm really, really busy, I don't have time to have those conversations with people. Usually that's just masquerading as one of the other things. So usually we say we have a lack of opportunity when in fact we fear the opportunity because we're afraid of the rejection or the future. Or we say we don't have the opportunities because we're worried that we're going to stuff it up and we don't have enough knowledge to be able to share the gospel effectively. But the reality is, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, and we are the harvest workers that he wants to send into the field. So there are opportunities for us everywhere. We simply need to open our eyes to them. They could be our friends and family, our colleagues, our teammates on the sports team, people that catch the same train as us, our Uber driver, our doctor, our favourite waiter at the cafe that we go to, or that shop that we love to go to, the news agent clerk who serves you, gives you your paper. Now, I realise a number of those examples aren't sort of people that we can see right now. However, they are people in our lives and people whom we are still interacting with in a digital and through a remote way. There are opportunities everywhere. The harvest is plentiful. Now, in a couple of weeks' time, I am going to do a sermon on how we do need to actually be careful about sharing the gospel, because I don't want us to, go out and get a microphone and a little amplifier and go, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh, turn or burn," to all these people out there on the streets. That's not what I'm advocating for us to do. because there is, we are called to be wise, to be as innocent as doves, as well as being as shrewd as serpents. And we're also called that we told that we shouldn't give to dogs what is sacred, or we shouldn't cast our pearls before swine. But there's a whole other sermon about that, and that is coming up. That's on the agenda for a couple of weeks from now. However, what I want to leave with is this idea that we should err on the side of sharing the gospel rather than erring on the side of not sharing the gospel or withholding the gospel. I would rather see people who are prepared to share the gospel and risk maybe getting laughed at or maybe getting rejected or maybe even getting rather abruptly shut down versus people who, because that might happen, they don't do it. I would rather see people who try to share the gospel as best as they can and then have a whole bunch of questions they can't answer that they need to come and ask me about, totally on board with that, than people who think, because I can't answer those questions which I think might come, I just won't tell them anyway. I want us to be people who err on the side of spreading the gospel because the harvest is plentiful. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have trusted us with the mission and the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, we pray that we would not be regarding people through a worldly lens, but through your lens, and that we would be compelled by your love to share the gospel with them at every opportunity, those opportunities that are plentiful. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful week. And just in closing, I would also like to say I'm hoping to see you at the prayer meeting at 11 o'clock today. And last week I got Graham Oak wore a very similar shirt to me, so I decided to wear my fancy flamingo shirt to see if he might want to up his game this week and wear a similar shirt. So we'll have to see you at 11. I'll catch you then. Take care and